Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Subscribe on iTunes at Toddcast Podcast.
Hello.
Dallin.
Hancock, how are you?
Hey, buddy. Thank you for doing this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Been kind of binging on your music as of late, finding out I was going to be talking to you.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
That's a good thing, man. I'm really digging the sound, man. You guys must be jonesing. Like, how's the camp, for COVID and surviving and getting by, like, and not playing live shows must be just killing you guys.
Yeah, you know, not being able to do shows right now has made me really appreciate how important that moment actually is to have, like, psychologically speaking. It's almost like therapy for me.
And what's your take on, doing these live stream shows? And I noticed that a couple of the guys from, one of the guys in Godsmack, one of the guys in Stained, they're going to be doing like a drive-in theater thing where it's like socially distanced and all that. Like, what's your take on that? Would you entertain that idea?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're looking for any and every opportunity we can to play safely for people.
Right.
We recorded a set with some musicians in a studio down in Provo in Utah like a couple weeks ago, and they'll find their way onto the internet sooner or later, I'm sure. But we've also been in talks to do a socially distanced show up at a stadium in Salt Lake City, soccer stadium.
Okay,
not so sure if that's going to go through or not, because plans seem to change day by day.
But yeah. So what would the capacity for that be? Do you know any idea, Dallin? Like, a stadium would normally be what, 15,000-18,000 people? Like, in a COVID world, how many people would that be?
I was told they're going to try to limit it to around 1,200, because not every individual would have their own space, but it would be grouped and, you know, quartered off, like 3 or 4 people to a particular space or something like that. I'm not really
right. Sure. Like, you're going with your buddies. It's not like you're distancing and
yeah. Well, I mean, there is distancing between parties, and from what I understand about it, like they only let a certain amount of people in at a time to keep lines from forming. And I don't really know how it all works. I'm not sure if they do either, but they seem to figure it out. But we're keeping our fingers crossed and hoping that it happens. If it doesn't, then you know it. That sucks, but it's also, you know, we don't want to play at the expense of anybody's health.
So. No, of course not. I mean, I just saw shows that were booked in the summer of 2021 with like Kiss, Pearl Jam is doing a big one with the Pixies, you know, and I'm hoping that, of course, that's going to happen, but maybe that's just optimistic thinking at the same time. Like, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it's important, I think, to be optimistic about it, but, you know, prepare for the best, or hope for the best and prepare for the worst, I guess.
For the worst, yeah. Dude, let's go back to the beginning before you were in any bands. Of course, you were in a Panic at the Disco prior to your project with, I don't know how, but they found me. Is that are you going full out, the full name? I don't know how, but they found me?
For press reasons, we shorten it to IDK How or just
ID, yeah. So let's go back before bands and like in the Weeks house, what are your parents playing as you're a kid growing up? Like, what are you being exposed to?
Oh man, when we would clean the house on Saturday, it seemed that my parents would always put on either the oldie station or just basic middle of the road top 40 stuff.
Yeah.
I grew up with that sort of, you know, stuff floating in the ether around me. I didn't really pay attention to it, but I was like semi aware of a lot of older rock stuff that my dad listened to. And then, you know, the Sheena Easton, Gloria Estefan stuff that my mom was listening to. So okay. I just have an appreciation for that stuff, even though it is like,
yeah,
cheeseball 80s, like
same.
A certain charm.
Like put on a Laura Branigan song, Gloria, and I'm...
Oh, Gloria. Love Gloria.
I'm turning that up.
every single talent show that you went to had a teenage girl that was dancing to Gloria.
Right. Kind of like almost like a radio feel at your house then, if it's all over the map like that.
Well, yeah, but it was all very casual. I mean, my parents weren't, really big on music. It was just sort of a very casual pastime, you know, put the radio on and it's background noise for Saturday when you're cleaning the house. But
right.
it's not an interest that I was really encouraged to pursue as a kid, because I wanted to play the guitar from the time I was three, but never really did until I was 15 and I bought my own guitar, and my parents were really disappointed that I wasted my money on this thing that was going to take me nowhere and turn me into a degenerate lowlife.
They probably have a differing opinion than that present day.
Well, yeah, I think it's because, you know, when I was a kid and talking about wanting to, you know, play rock and roll and have that be a job, like their heads go to the Motley Crues of the time and, you know, these hair metal bands.
Snorting Lines of Ants and yeah.
But you know, when I was a teenager, it was bands like Nirvana and Pearl Jam, and, you know, despite whatever, you know, personal issues they may have had, they did have a set of ethics when it came to rock and roll. And that's what I grew up admiring. And so I learned that rock and roll as a job can be whatever you make it. You know, if you want it to be a 24-hour party, you certainly could do that.
Right.
I don't think you're going to last very long if you do, unless, you know, you're exceptionally lucky.
Right. Keith Richards comes to mind.
Yeah. But I always just wanted to treat it like a job and like a career and have it be something that I could use to take care of my family.
Right. Great, man. That's great. What was your first concert that you went to?
I think it was Counting Crows in 1994.
So that would have been right at the heart of around here and Mr. Jones. And
I think it was before around here. But I think the single at the time was Long December, like in that era. I'm not sure what record that was.
I think that might be the same one, isn't it? August and Everything After?
It could be. I've sort of fallen off the wagon. I still love Counting Crows, and I love all that
old stuff. Great band. I mean, arguably one of the, I put those guys in the same category as like a Hootie and the Blowfish that were absolutely freaking massive, but have kind of fallen off the wayside.
Yeah, I'm sure that they're all, you know, doing their own thing and are happy to be, you know, have had the career that they've had. I certainly would be if I were them.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. I mean, they could probably fire it up again and play Thousand Seaters in a pre-COVID world, no problem.
They did that live double album in the 90s that was really, really great too. I still spin that song, Chelsea. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that
Yes. one. Yeah, they have a lot of really good songs. I'm curious about the desert island question, because this kind of peels into who Dallin Weeks is. You have three records you're allowed to bring. You're on a deserted island. What are they?
This Year's Model by Elvis Costello and the Attractions.
I've been trying to get Elvis Costello as a guest of this podcast forever, and I know his booking agent, and I can't get him.
Oh, wow. You know, I played a show with him, a couple shows, but once with Panic years ago. Our dressing room was directly next door to his. I'm such a huge fan. I was
like, cool.
And I kept, throughout the day, you know, I kept walking by his dressing room going, you know, trying to sneak peeks.
Sneak a peek.
Yeah, but yeah, that record for sure, it's been one of my favorites for the
longest. Yeah, great choice.
Number two would probably be Weezer's Pinkerton.
Okay.
Came out when I was like 14 or 15, and I fell in love with it immediately. It was one of those records that, you know, all of my friends kind of disparaged and didn't like because it wasn't like the Blue Album and it was a little too weird. And
right.
I loved it. I think it took people about 10 years to come around and go, oh, this is a really good record. But to me, that one's always been really special.
Yeah.
And then number three would probably be Kimono My House by Sparks.
Oh, I'm not even sure if I know that band.
Sparks has been around since like the early 70s, and they pretty much invented Queen and any number of bands who took a giant page out of their playbook.
Okay.
They still make music to this day. They've been making music as Sparks for 40 something years.
Wow.
Legendary band. And if you go back and listen to their catalog, you'll plainly be able to see that, oh, this band was born from this Sparks record, and this band was born from this Sparks record. So it's really cool. It's one of those bands that, for some inexplicable reason, have flown under the radar of
totally
public consciousness, but they deserve to be like one of the most legendary bands out there.
It sounds like I have some homework to do after this interview.
Yeah, definitely dig into it. Start with a song called Something for the Girl with Everything, or This Town Ain't Big Enough for the Both of Us.
Okay.
That song is off Kimono My House. Really, really great.
We have homework. Tell us, because the drummer in your band, Ryan, is a longtime friend. How did this project kind of take wings?
Well, I met Ryan more than a decade ago when I was doing a band called the Brobex based out of Salt Lake City. But yeah, he was sort of a hired gun working for this and that person. And I needed a drummer, and his name sort of popped up on the radar. And we happened to be playing the same festival one day, so I went to check him out and just was really impressed by what he was not only able to do on the drums, but participating and contributing to the show of the artist that he was playing for. Like, he's always been that guy to serve a bigger picture. And he is so talented and has a great work ethic too. So we worked together in the Brobex for a while, but always stayed in contact. Like, after I went to Panic, he worked for other bands too. But right. Anytime I put a demo or something together and needed drums, like, he would be my guy to come in and do that with.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
I started making I Don't Know How recordings, he was my guy, and we got to hanging out more, and we're just in really similar situations of wanting to do something else with music, and just for ourselves, and not any other reason than just to go out and have fun in our spare time.
Right. And how great is it that you know, your buddy is also driven like you are? Like, nothing like pulling along dead weight.
Exactly. Well, I think that's why we've always gotten along so well, because he's got, you know, a singular eye when it comes to treating music like a job rather than a party. So
right.
He likes to have a good time too, probably more so than me. I'm pretty boring, but
well, he's a drummer, so
but he works hard, and that's why I wanted him to be in this with me and do this with me, because he's not only a really hard worker, but he's a sweetheart too, and he deserves to have, you know, the best things happen in his life. So
right.
I'm hoping we can make that happen for each other.
Yeah, that's great. I have limited time with you, so I want to rip through a few you know, lifestyle questions. I want to get to know you more than kind of, you know, what you're known for, music and stuff. What are you binging on right now? What are you binge watching?
You know, I haven't been watching a lot of TV, but when I do put something on, it seems to be The Office usually. Mm. And that's always the go-to. But
which do you like better, the original English version or the American?
Well, I love both. It's been a minute since I've watched the British version, but I just started it up again maybe like 2 nights ago, because my wife hasn't seen the British version.
Oh, okay. So,
I'm like, trying to get her into it. But
Ricky Gervais is just like just a jewel in the entertainment world.
Absolutely. You know who else is great? There's another show I have been binge watching that you reminded me of. You know who Matt Berry is? He's another British comedian.
Not sure. Maybe to see him.
He seems to have another show every few years on the BBC or something, and it's always comedy, and it's always really brilliant. But this particular show is called Toast of London.
Okay.
So funny. So that's another one that I've been binge watching. But he's right up there on Ricky Gervais's level as far as like comedy chops and just.
Oh, that's rad. With Chad Boswick, Black Panther actor, passing, are you a fan of all of that, or what Marvel and DC are pushing out? Are you a big superhero guy?
Yeah, I've been into comics since I was a teenager. You know, I was big on X-Men and Spider-Man. And,
yeah, same.
You know, I loved Black Panther, and Chadwick's contributions to the MCU I think were great, but I think learning about him as a person has really, really impressed me. You know, unfortunately, you know, learning about how, you know, altruistic he really was came after
post-mortem. Yeah, I mean, and like, that shows the character of this guy to not be like, oh, look at me, look at all my endeavors I'm doing on the side. And
that's really admirable quality to have.
Totally. Wasn't that something like was it George Michael had done that as well? Like, he was giving philanthropic donations, like millions of dollars to charities around the world, and he never mentioned a thing.
Well, that's the way to do it, man. That's just classy.
Yeah, 100%. If you could have a superpower, which power would you want to have?
You know what? Sign me up for whatever Superman's got. You know,
yeah.
Those Kryptonians have a
little bit of everything.
Won the lottery when it comes to superpowers. So,
mm-hmm. What is your favorite superhero movie?
Oh man, probably.
That's a tough call, right?
Yeah, that is pretty tough. I really liked Iron Man. The first Iron Man was really great.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Like, dude, that's the one. Jon Favreau set that bar. Like, dude, yeah. If you're going to make a movie about Superman or Batman or X-Men or Peter Parker, like, here's where you need to get to.
Yeah, I think he's the first real director to make a superhero movie that had a real grasp on how to do a comic book movie based in a real world scenario, and also stayed super true to the source material as well.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. Iron Man set the bar, dude, right out of the gate. And then, of course, everything just... Now it's... I mean, Endgame was like...
Yeah, that was really great.
Brains exploding.
I love watching the studio audience reactions to the Endgame.
Yeah.
Those are always really fun.
Yeah. Aliens. Do you think aliens have visited? Do you think they live among us?
I mean, it seems like they have been around, you know. There's stuff in the news going on talking about, objects discovered or materials not of an earthly origin. I mean, that's being confirmed in the news and by government sources and stuff. So it seems pretty obvious that it has happened. You know, what they are and where they come from, who's to say? I mean, we don't know. But I think that's the biggest thing about it is we don't know.
Is that unknown?
It seems kind of, I don't think we know as much about it as we think we do.
Yeah. I think so too. I think a lot's being, held back from us as well too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But it seems like if we're the only ones in the universe, seems like an awful waste of space, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's a big rabbit hole.
Yeah.
If not for I Don't Know How and Panic at the Disco and all your other bands, what would you be doing if not for music?
I would have been in a padded room a long time ago. A long, long time ago.
Yeah.
Before music and even, while pursuing music for years and years and years, I was doing blue collar jobs and trying to chase music down, after I clocked out. And man, it was hard because I grew up doing blue collar stuff, but I hated every single minute of it. And, for me, there was nothing else to chase other than having music as a career. And luckily for me, that lightning struck about 10 or so years ago, and I've been able to be a full-time musician for about 5 or 6 years, which is huge.
Dude, I mean, that's a dream of most musicians, just to live off your craft.
I mean, to be able to collect a paycheck playing music is huge. I mean, if you can do that, you've already won the lottery.
Yeah.
But if you can do that, just play music and do what you love full time. I mean, that's like the guy that won a lottery 2 times in a row.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Yeah. Are you a big sports guy? What do you like to watch? What do you like to play?
I'm not a big sports guy. I played a little basketball when I was a kid, but my older brother, he had a few years on me. So him and his friends would get together and I would try to learn how to play basketball. They'd always give me a hard time because I didn't know. So I was kind of pushed off to the side and
right.
Really allowed to develop that interest. So I kind of turned to music instead because there was no one to sort of, disparage my efforts to learn this new thing.
Right. Yeah. Well, it turns out you did pretty good at that. So you're doing all right here.
I mean, I understand why people love sports, but in my experience, it seems to bring out the worst in people.
Especially parents, hockey parents are just insane. Like, buddy, sit down.
Yeah.
It's a freaking game.
If my kids show an interest in sports, then I'll definitely fully encourage that and try my best not to get into fist fights with sports dads and coaches.
Try your best. Yeah. Dude, let me wrap it up. I'm going to respect your time here. I know you got another, you got a 9:30 here. Can you nail it down to one career highlight thus far? Or is that just way too hard to pick?
No, not at all. Being able to do this band has been the highlight. It's everything that I ever wanted. It's just being able to create music and have nothing standing in between the initial idea and the finished product. You know, there's no filters, there's no suits coming in and changing stuff. And
imagine that. Imagine being micromanaged to the point you're like, really? This is not what I want.
Yeah, exactly. It's something I have a little bit of experience with, but to be able to be in a situation where there is no more of that, there's just total creative freedom. And the fact that there are people out there who respond to it and connect to it is, I really do feel like the guy that won the lottery twice.
Yeah. Good for you, man. That's great. I'm happy for you. I don't know how, but they found me. The album is released on October 23rd. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's coming up pretty quick. Well, best of luck, man. Thanks again for taking some time this morning to join us, the Toddcast here in Vancouver, Canada.
Absolutely. I thank you for having me. Really
appreciate it. I want to get this right, so I'm not messing it up. Your band's Twitter and Instagram pages are IDK How.
Yep.
I don't know how.
That's for sure.
Pretty straightforward, man. I guess we'll see you online. Thanks again.
Absolutely. Thanks, Todd.
The Toddcast Podcast on toddhancock.ca.
Attention, fans of fairy tales that are magical, hilarious, and grim. The award-winning Pinna original podcast Grim, Grimmer, Grimmest has new episodes out now. While you've probably heard of the Brothers Grimm, you've never heard these tales told in quite this way. I'm Adam Gidwitz, best-selling and Newbery Honor author of books for children, and in Grim, Grimmer, Grimmest, I share the real, weird, grim fairy tales with real, weird, hilarious kids. In each episode, you not only get to hear a story, but you also get to enjoy this group guessing what'll happen next, cracking jokes, and sharing their own perspectives on the tales. Also, heckling me. They love to heckle me. The episodes are rated on a scale from grim to grimmer to grimmest, so there's always a great variety of tales to explore with your family. You can listen to Grim, Grimmer, Grimmest now wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to follow the show so you don't miss new episodes.